What the Talking Heads tell us, the news of the day. We read the latest jaw-dropping headlines. We pick the channels and sites that slant towards our own beliefs. We hear political figures do rhetoric about fake news, persuading us to lose trust in the media, to doubt all journalists and reporters, to instead follow the leader on Twitter, to go directly to the belly of the bias. But forget the clever banter, ignore the witty retort, renounce persuasion of propaganda, dismiss the orchestrated event, reject the scripted reality TV, disregard the distractions of absurdity, follow the facts, pay attention to policy, watch what your government is doing, not what your government is saying, read the words of journalists with integrity, and decide for yourself what you believe. Decide for yourself what is right, what is ethical. And when immoral actions are taken in your name, fight. When immoral actions are taken in your name, what is witnessed. The press is composed of citizens with a duty to report to fellow citizens. The importance of the press cannot be overstated. Freedom of press has been declared a human right by the United Nations. Freedom of press protects the communication of information and opinions from the interference of government. When immoral actions are taken in your name,
Sunday afternoon. This is Connected Revelation on Freedomizer Radio. I'm your host, Susie.
And I'm Dory.
Coming at you on another Sunday afternoon. Kind of humid and muggy where I am. How about you, Dory?
A little bit. I would say that the weather this weekend hasn't been like picture perfect, but on the other hand, it's been kind of nice to slow down a little bit, I feel like.
I totally agree with you. My oldest was supposed to have a skateboard competition yesterday, his first one that he entered, and it got rained out. We were bummed, but then it got moved to September, which I feel like it's got to be perfect weather, like the end of September, right? Like not too hot, and I guess the only, you know, potential is for rain. But other than that, I mean, it should be good weather, so I'm kind of excited that it got moved. I'm glad it got rescheduled, too.
Yeah, because that's a bummer, because if you're looking forward to it and it just, like, disappears and doesn't happen, it's sad.
Yeah, right, yeah, and he was disappointed, and we ended up going bowling, which was fun, but I know he had his whole run planned out, and was pretty pumped to do it, so I'm glad that he will have a chance to try it out anyways.
Yeah, that sounds like so much fun.
How was your week?
Oh, my gosh. Don't start talking about my week. No. you know, I'm a pretty faith-based person in spirituality, so a lot of weird, strange things coming our way, and I'm just trying to keep up with the plan, apparently.
Well, yeah,
just running,
right.
Running
yeah.
with the plan.
That's all you can do, really.
Yeah, yeah.
How's your family?
Major down.
Yeah, how is your family doing with all the upcoming changes? Do you guys kind of roll with it together, or how does the stress play out for you and your husband and your kids? How does it look?
You know, it's only going to be like a month of stress, and then it kind of eases into normalcy, if you will.
Yeah.
So actually the kids do pretty well with it. They're actually pretty excited with being there. It's something new and different that we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so when they come along for the ride with these different things, since we're working on the projects and different things, they think it's really fun.
Oh, good.
So it's kind of fun there. Things like this bring my husband and I closer together. We work really well as a team. So one, I would say he's more of like the handyman in the situation. You know, he's going to get in there and get that work done. And I'm more the manager, you know, bringing it all together.
That's
so
great. I love that.
You know, we didn't used to be like, I mean, it used to be we both got in there and did the, you know, the actual build of things. But
mm-hmm.
with kids, someone's got to be with the kids. So,
absolutely.
So the kids will chill out for a while while we're working, and then, you know, eventually they're like, all right, we're done. And then I'm like, all right, well, I'll take you home then.
Yep, so. Yep. That's good. That's always good to hear. I feel like that's a growth thing, don't you think? Like the longer you're together, I mean, either you start working better together or you don't. And, you know, kids definitely change that up quite a bit, especially when they're young and they need, like, mine and yours need a lot of supervision.
Yes. How about you? What did you do this week?
Wow. You know, we had a pretty low-key week. My kids are homeschooled, so that does not mean we're exempt from some of the rigmarole of the school system. And one of the things we have to do is yearly testing to make sure that they are not really anything, because they never collect the test, but we keep it on hand and they can use it as a base point for your upcoming teaching or whatever. So we had that this week and it was really awesome. I don't know if you remember, but when we started homeschooling, my son was very kind of slower to learn to read and kind of slower on all the basic necessities, but very smart in other areas. And he scored really high in reading, like 11th and 12th grade level. And
awesome.
Really just off the charts for every subject except for math, which he was exactly at grade level, which he has been since the beginning. And my daughter too was just really far above where we traditionally would start school. Like, oh, you're in third grade, you should be doing this, because I don't school them that way. I just kind of go with what they like to do, and they follow their interests and have a lot of freedom to explore. And her results showed that. I mean, she was beyond what I had taught her and beyond what we were even studying. And so to me, I mean, that's not like a good job, mom. That's just having faith in your kids that they will learn what they need to if you give them enough time to play and just be them and kind of explore. So I was still really proud of them for, I don't know. I was still really proud of them. So that was,
yeah,
like the highlight of our week, really.
Oh, yeah. I mean, seriously, like, I mean, I didn't truly start enjoying learning until I found a topic I loved.
Right.
You know, and then then all of the other stuff came into play. You know
what I agree. I totally agree with you.
If you're being forced to read things you don't want to read and you're forced to like do math sheets and different things, you're just not going to learn because you're going to be resistant to learning because you don't want to do what it is that's being done. Doesn't mean
I'm
that
like
they're
that
going to
math too. No, right.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like that.
Oh yeah.
When someone's like, you have to do this. I'm like, well, now I don't want to. Like you just ruined it for me.
Exactly. But I mean, like if you're, you know, I don't know. My son is really into Captain Underpants books in kindergarten, which are like really not my style. They are so crude. Like those are you know, not amazing books. And like he like soared through those books.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so, but he loved, you know, he likes the crudeness. Like he just kind of has that sense of humor.
Every kid has that sense of humor. My kids thought they were hilarious. And I was like, oh, I can't wait till you get past these books.
I know, right? So, but, you know, I mean, he was reading chapter books in kindergarten because of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
My kid wasn't.
Hilarious.
Right. I would give him anything and he just could not. But, you know, like we talked about before with Kathy, it's just like, okay, back off and just, okay, do what you're going to do. And all of a sudden it's like, now, you know, you can be in a program that's for kids that are much older because you are so advanced in reading. So I have to come up with ways to challenge him further. So the woman who did, like we do an oral exam. It's a written. I mean, the kids still write out their answers, but the teacher sits there and asks the questions to them orally. So it's not a fill in the bubble test, I guess I should say. And she said, you know, I said, what do I do? Because the material that he can read is so far advanced what his age is. And I want to make sure I stay with an age appropriate material. And she was the classics, you know, how about some Greek mythology, get the unabridged version, not the simplified version. And I said, oh yeah, I forgot about those. And like Swiss Family Robinson and, you know, series like that, that are just, the sentences are more complex. The, you know, the words are bigger. They use different language back then too. So he really is challenged. But then it's still, the material is still age appropriate. So I thought that was a really good suggestion. I've read those, but I didn't think of it.
No, as you know, I don't homeschool my son. So basically when he gets home from school, I don't make him do anything. You know, they haven't done homework up to this point in his schooling. But it helps that he's like, at the end of third grade level going into kind of for second grade. And you know, so like, as far as I'm concerned, I don't, you know, if he doesn't want to read at my house, I'm not going to make him read. Now in the summer we do bring that stuff into play, but during the school year, I make sure he's outside. That's what I do.
Right. Yes. Well, I think that's so important. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so, but yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, you got to follow and then not, like you said, don't push. Like, if he's, you know, if he's that far ahead, like, I'm just going to, you know, I'm going to give him things different.
Well,
I'm going to challenge him in other ways.
Yep.
And so it's kind of fun. So, I do feel like I, in some ways, bring homeschooling into his life, especially over the summer.
Oh, of course you do. You do a lot of stuff with your kids.
I do send him out to school.
Mm-hmm.
He seems to really like it. So as long as he's happy and he's doing well, it's pretty much what I want. If he was like hating his school and he didn't want to be there, I would pull him and keep him.
Right.
Home. That wouldn't be a problem for me at all.
Yep, that's all part of it too. I mean, so far my kids are enjoying being home and things, but you know, you have to just take it as it comes. And I believe that's true when making a school choice as well, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So, but you know, we have a really exciting episode today. I know you're pretty pumped. I am too.
I've been waiting for this episode.
I know. Yeah, we have Thaddeus Owen, and online he's known as the Primal Hacker. You'll be joining us in about 15 minutes here. I hadn't even heard of, I mean, I'd heard of biohacking and things like that, but I didn't meet Thaddeus until last fall at a Weston A. Price meeting. And he came and spoke and, you know, packed out the room with people that had been following him, as well as some of our attendees as well. And the information that he shares both online, and he has like an e-course you can take or sign up for through via email and Instagram. And it's all just really interesting. I don't want to say common sense, but easy to follow things that you can do to, I don't know, kind of get back to nature and avoid or mitigate some of the issues with things like wireless technology and screens and things like that.
Right. No, I've been on that, I guess, understanding for a long time about EMFs and the dangers of those different things. You know, since I worked at the dental office, we had, you know, all sorts of things in there to mitigate things like that. So it's been a long time that I've known about it, though. Mm-hmm. I am interested to hear a little bit more. I mean, just generally speaking, I know that EMFs are bad and they can cause problems and all that, but with the 5G coming, I'm excited or interested to hear what he has to say about it. I know he has his opinions just from following him on Facebook and Instagram. And I think that he has a really good way of explaining to people who, I mean, I think a lot of people who are really into technology are very excited about this movement into 5G. Mm. And so it's, you know, because people aren't thinking about their health in regards to that. They think that it's something completely different than their health, and that one does not affect the other, right?
Right, right.
But, I'm excited to have him explain how they connect and what we can do to, you know, protect ourselves.
Right.
In our family.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, well, and the truth is 5G, as far as making a difference about how fast you can connect and things like that, it's microseconds. It's not like we're going from dial up, you know, with a phone line to wireless technology. It's actually so insignificant, in my opinion, that my question is, well, I mean, besides the money involved, and maybe that's the only thing, what is the point? Because even my husband, who's a programmer, works from home, has to be technologically savvy. This doesn't make sense as far as getting things downloaded quickly and connecting quickly. This really doesn't add up.
Right. Like, I can't imagine you can't go, I mean, when we do things, it's pretty instantaneous right now. Like,
absolutely.
There is, you know, there is not really a wait time unless you're in an area with poor service, I suppose. But at least where I am, and maybe you are, the service is good. Mm-hmm. And so there isn't that lag time that maybe outside of big populated areas maybe be different.
Right. Well, in those areas, I mean, fat chance they're going to be getting 5G anyways. I don't know if that's going to be a solution. You know what I mean? With the cost involved and, like, is it really going to be supported and supportable? But anyways, I'm sure Thaddeus has more information on that for us. I'm sure you have lots of questions for him. I'm not sure we have enough time for all of your questions.
And I'm like, can you come on and be on our show for the next month?
Right, I know. Well, that's the thing with all these people. We have said this since the beginning. You scratch the surface with the first interview, and then, you know, you almost need another 10 interviews for all the follow-up stuff, because you realize that everyone has this wealth of knowledge, like all of this knowledge that they have, and you only know them as having, okay, you're this person, you do this thing, and they start talking, and all of a sudden you realize like they have so much more to share, and it's really cool,
right.
But then you don't want it to end.
Right. Keep sharing your wealth. We want to take in this knowledge. Please share. That's the good thing about the show, is it like introduces people to these people so that they can go
right.
and find them, on their Facebook pages or Instagram, Twitter,
yeah.
or even, you know, their website, sign up for their newsletter and like start to learn the different things that, you know, we're learning too. So,
right.
I think it's proof
to have that kind of community, be plugged into the community where you share a common interest, because there is no one person that can know all of the ins and outs of all of this stuff.
Oh, and that's so true. And the truth is there's no one person for everyone.
No, absolutely. Right, exactly.
Because personalities have to mesh too. And,
yes.
you know, if there was only one dentist in the world, as we'd always say,
right.
the line would be forever.
Right,
you know?
Exactly.
And,
yeah.
you know, so there's different people for different things. It's just like
mm-hmm.
you have to, it needs to be a good connection in order
Absolutely.
For it to work.
Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah, so we're excited about that. And last week, of course, we had Kathy Oakes on, and she wrote the book Homeschoolers Are Not Hermits. And I hope some of you were able to purchase her ebook for $2.99, or you can always get her paperback book, which I have from Amazon. I don't remember the cost, under $15. And then when you buy that, you can get for free these downloadable sheets for road tripping and really cool stuff. So if you didn't catch that episode, you can listen to it from last week, and then you can follow, I believe the links are on our Connected Revelation Facebook and not Instagram, but Facebook for sure site, and get her free downloads as well. And I can repost those later today or tomorrow morning for everybody.
Right. And then also, you should plug your niece's blog too, from Kinetic Spiral. She had some really good
mm-hmm.
information on travel too.
Yeah, Kinetic Spiral, Grace and Tanner of Kinetic Spiral, they are the ones that do the kind of van life and handmade jewelry, and they have some tips on more road tripping, but in longer increments. Where can you stay for free or for low cost? Where can you take showers? What are some good places to park and to visit? So that would be Kinetic Spiral. If you look it up on Instagram, she will have a link to her blog in her information. So that's another good resource. Lots of people are just traveling around and learning as they go, and I think that's a really cool thing. I'm not sure. I suppose people have always done that. We just haven't had the resources to share it.
Right. I have this friend from high school who has literally been backpacking the world since she was 20.
Wow.
14 years. I think they might finally be coming back to Minnesota. She found her husband in all of that travel as well.
Huh.
But she blogged about her travels. I mean, she took like a ship into Antarctica.
Oh my goodness. That sounds
like
amazing.
She hopped a ship and went into Antarctica on the ship, and like just incredible. What, you know, just she just goes there and out of, you know, whim and does these things.
Yeah.
And it's like they got some pretty incredible pictures on that one. I should look her up and link her blog, because it was just incredible.
Yeah, that's great. That sounds fun. Do they have children, or is it just the two grown-ups?
It's two grown-ups. So she originally was kind of doing the backpacking, from what I could tell, on her own.
Okay.
And then she eventually, she must have been with friends, and she'd meet different people, and then somehow she met him along the way, and then they kind of separated and were backpacking, and then they found each other again.
Oh, my goodness. That's so neat.
I know. So it's pretty cool how all that stuff. You know, like
yeah.
the fact that you meet somebody and like, I don't know where she met. Let's say she met them in Germany, but then she reconnected with them in South America.
Oh my goodness. What are the odds?
You know that? I know, right?
Yeah. That's very
so,
cool.
Yeah,
that would
so
be cool.
I'll link that blog because I just think she's just fascinating.
Yeah.
I live vicariously for those people.
Right. I wonder how she decides where to visit next.
That's a good question. I'll ask her if she wants to be on the show just to,
awesome.
Just to ask those questions. Yeah.
I know. Like, how do you decide? You just, you know, close your eyes and put your finger somewhere and, you know, like you did when you were a kid. Okay, I'm going to go to Zimbabwe. That's where my finger landed.
I would assume that as you're traveling, you meet people from different places and then you
mm-hmm.
make the connection. And then you go meet those people in their area, and then you meet somebody there, and then make a connection, and then you know.
Right.
I assume that's how it all works.
I'm sure you're right. That would make sense.
You know, so you're never, after the first few times, you're never really in a place you don't know anybody. Yeah.
Right.
That, then you just sort of,
right.
you know, as your world expands.
Right. Yeah, no, that's, oh, and especially you're meeting people who I assume also are kind of living a similar lifestyle. So then they're going to have other suggestions and they're going to know other people or be able to set you up with other people. So you're not, like you said, totally alone. At least you have a common friend or something like that.
Yeah. Just, when people do that stuff, it's like, wow. Wow. How you
yeah.
guys like pick up and like go across the country.
Right. And how do you get interested in that? I mean, like, I like exploring other areas,
mm-hmm.
but it would, you know, it would never occur to me to just pack up a backpack and just start traveling the world. Like, that wouldn't even enter my brain as something that I'd be super interested in. So what, you know, what makes someone just feel like that's so intriguing? They just have to do it.
I don't know. Hey,
you know me and
so
my backstories.
Yes, but I just, so you wouldn't like just, you know, get a, like a RV for a year and take your kids to every state park in the country?
I would, state parks, nah, they don't really interest me that much, but I would do that, but it would be more like I would want to enjoy it with my kids, like as a single person,
mm-hmm.
that thought would just not enter my brain as something to do, you know, like when I was single, when I didn't have kids. I would like, I like vacationing, but just to relax and get away from the, you know, my job or whatever. But like with kids,
oh,
to me,
yeah.
it feels like a different thing because they're learning and discovering with you. So it's, to me, it feels a little bit different.
It does. Yeah, definitely. I have, you know, a desire to like visit all of the national parks and,
mm-hmm.
You know, see all these natural wonders of our country with my kids, and
yeah.
it is definitely my kids that motivate me because I want them, you know, I don't want to just talk about what is a mountain, what is a valley,
right,
what
right,
is
yeah.
this is, you know, it's not a paper thing to me. I think I want you to tangibly see it.
Yeah.
Like this is
yeah.
what a mountain looks like. This is,
right.
you know, like this is, you know, what the Grand Canyon looks like.
Yeah.
You know, this is, you know, when you're actually there and experience it, it makes it very different.
Right. I know. I agree. When I was young and traveling, it was more like, what has the best beach? Where can I lay in the sun for the longest amount of time and have someone bring me a drink? That definitely wasn't
yeah.
exploring. It was, and where can I do it the cheapest? Like,
yes,
it had nothing
no,
to
totally.
Do with seeing the world. It was like, beach, drinks, sun. Where do I go? You know? Those are my criteria.
Well, I'm not saying that's a bad vacation either, because that sounds good too. I think
no,
to be,
but with kids,
know,
it's like, that is super funny. You are not going to be relaxing. So don't make that your goal
yeah.
because you're going to be sorely disappointed.
Oh, no. Absolutely.
I know we think that now. It's like, hey, let's go somewhere with a beach. I'm like, this doesn't have to have a beach because, you know, we're not going to be laying on it. We're going to be making sure kids don't drown and, you know, navigating the, you know, have your life jacket on and that stuff. So it's not like it was.
Right? You know, it definitely isn't the same. I'll tell you that. When I took the kids to the beach when we were in Florida, it wasn't the same.
No. I remember just falling asleep with a book. I could get through, you know, a huge Stephen King novel in like 2 days, you know, just reading on the beach. And now I can only remember the last book I read because I have to give myself a goal of, okay, guys, give me 15 minutes. Mommy can read a chapter of her book today. So it kind of takes the magic out of it sometimes.
Yeah, a little bit, because you only get a little piece of it. You can't like drown your mind into it.
Right. No. Well, it looks like it's time to take a quick break. And when we come back from commercials, we will have Thaddeus Owen, the Primal Hacker, with us. So stay tuned on Connected Revelation. We'll be back in a few minutes.
Hello, everyone. I'd like to talk to you about our newest sponsor, Misty'sGardens.com. Now, this is a contraption where you can grow food in your apartment, in a small patio, or if you're like me and you absolutely suck at gardening, this makes life a lot easier. It is a vertical tower garden. We can grow over 20 things at once in a small, compacted area. Good health starts with good habits, like eating wholesome foods, and with tower gardens, you can easily grow your own fresh, nutrient-rich food virtually anywhere year-round without soil. So, Misty'sGardens.com, have a look at it, check it out, buy it, plant, and like it. Misty'sGardens.com.
Call in our live number at 319-527-6208. That's 319-527-6208. Press 1 to participate on the air.
Did you know that every time you swipe your debit card, those behind-the-scenes transaction fees make the big banks even richer? In 2016 alone, these fees added up to $60 billion. Yes, that's billion with a B. Well, what if there was a way to have the convenience of a debit card, but reroute those fees from the banksters to organizations actually doing good in the world? Organizations that protect the environment or feed hungry children? What if your swipes could literally change the world? Well, Groundswell SPC has found a way to do just that. We've designed a Visa debit card program that shares transaction fees with your favorite cause. Groundswell partners with nonprofit organizations that promote the card to their supporters. Their supporters then use the card to power the mission of the nonprofit. It's a win-win-win for everyone, except the big banks, of course. Groundswell is about to launch its first cards into market, and we're inviting you to be part of this movement as an investor in the company. Go to WeFunder.com/GroundswellCard to learn more. Set up a free WeFunder account and invest in Groundswell today and get your money on mission.
And we are back on Connected Revelation on Freedomizer Radio. I'm your host, Susie.
And I am your co-host, Dory.
And with us today, we have Thaddeus Owen, known online as the Primal Hacker. Welcome, Thaddeus.
Thanks. Great to be here, Dory and Susie.
Thanks. Great. Yeah, so I guess first off, we'd love for you to just kind of, you know, introduce yourself and briefly tell us how you got into, I guess, online is kind of known as biohacking.
So I'm Thaddeus Owen, as you said, and I kind of started out very traditionally. So I went to college, got a 4-year degree in chemical engineering, spent the next 10 years developing first beauty care products for a big company like Procter & Gamble, making Secret, Sure, Old Spice, antiperspirants, and beauty care products, and left there, thought I was going to do good in the world, and worked in kind of biotech pharmaceuticals for another 7 years for really big pharmaceutical companies, and just got to the point where I was pouring 5,000 and 10,000 gallon batches of pharmaceutical drugs for children and putting things that were considered poisons and carcinogens into those, where I was fully suited up and wearing a respirator and protected, but pouring it into a product that a kid was going to then be fed to, quote unquote, get better and healthy. So I left, got my master's degree in holistic nutrition, And I just started doing this deep dive into health and movement and fitness and longevity from a standpoint of, like, what's out there that people aren't talking about in the mainstream media, but is super effective, is well-researched and studied. So I started looking at the latest research in science, and I found this concept called biohacking, which talks about how to modify the environment inside of ourselves and around us. So the environment we live in affects our biology deeply and our health and longevity. And there's tons of science on it, but it's not really well known. And so I did this thing called biohacking, which is self-experimenting on changing the environment inside and around us to see how it affects our health. I checked, like, blood markers, and I did a whole bunch of different things personally and found huge benefits, curing my own, like, social anxiety, which immobilized me from changing careers and giving presentations and talking in front of anyone more than, like, my own family. So it helped me really get better. And then what I wanted to do is taking these science principles I was learning from ancestral practices and modern science and combining them together and teaching people what I was learning and helping others. So that was the Primal Hacker Identity Online through my blog and social media. I attempt to do my best to put the principles into practice and show others what I'm doing and teach them how to maintain optimal health themselves.
That is really cool that you have a background on that. So you have a really, like, an inside scoop on what's really happening in those different industries, like the cosmetic industry and then also in the pharmaceutical industry, which I think makes what you talk about even more important because you've seen it firsthand. So I wanted to ask specifically about, you talked about being able to change the inside environment and the outside environment. And I wanted to ask what you think the number one outside stressor out there is affecting our bodies.
Yeah, and I would say there's one that I think is definitely the number one. It's probably going to be usurped by another outside stressor very soon. And that number one today is artificial light. People just take for granted, like, we live in these indoor environments nowadays. And in fact, 95% of our time is spent indoors and not outdoors, where the rest of the inhabitants on this earth live an outdoor lifestyle as we were originally designed to do ourselves. We now live indoors, and light impacts human biology, human disease, everything more than anyone really understands. I would say not more than anyone, because there are scientists that have been studying this forever. It's just not well publicized. And when we go indoors away from nature's light and we bathe ourselves in artificial alien light that man has made, we do some really big unintended things to our biology, and it is the number one stressor from the overhead lighting that everyone has replaced from incandescent to now CFL and LED lights. Your devices, iPads, tablets, cell phones, televisions, computer screens that we blast ourselves with 24 hours a day, all are based on LED lights, which have alien spectrums to human biology. And because our biology functions based off of light, light actually gives a ton of information, creates hormonal changes in our body. And when we give it these alien signals, it gets very confused and starts to produce things that really can stress and hurt us.
Okay. And an example of that would be?
So an example is the hormone in the body called melatonin. So melatonin is the body's master anti-cancer hormone. It is released during darkness. So once the body, the mind, the eyes, the skin, which all have receptors to see light, once that light is absent for a number of minutes, our body will start to produce melatonin, thinking that it is dark. The melatonin comes out, helps us sleep, and provides the rejuvenating benefits that we receive during sleep by cleaning up mitochondria DNA. It's the only substance in the body that can clean up and repair mitochondrial DNA, which is the number one factor for disease, especially cancer. So there's a Dr. Doug Wallace, and he says that mitochondria have everything to do with disease. The only thing that repairs them is melatonin. And once we see artificial light at night, so your LED, you turn on a light to go to the bathroom, you have your phone on after sunset, that destroys your melatonin that your body has produced, and it doesn't allow you to re-release the melatonin for 4 more hours. So you, therefore, if you sleep 8 hours, you've lost half the night's benefit of melatonin. That's just one effect of this artificial light.
Okay, and what can people do who have to use light after it gets dark? What can they do to try and negate that type of thing?
Yeah, of course. So myself included, I do my best not to have lights on after sunset, but that is virtually in our modern world impossible, especially those of us that have kids that have sports after sunset. During the winter, it gets dark at 4:30 in the afternoon. So the number one thing that we can do is we can block our receptors from seeing certain wavelengths of that light. So we have a receptor called melanopsin. It's in our eye. That melanopsin receptor reads blue light, just the blue wavelength of light, to tell us that it's dark or light. So if we wear colored glasses, they call them blue light blocking glasses. Back in the 80s and 90s, they were like the blue blockers that your, you know, grandparents wore on TV. Nowadays, people wear those indoors and at night, not outdoors during the day, and they block the blue wavelength of light after sunset from hitting your eye so that your body can continue to produce melatonin. So that's been actually well studied in the literature, that these glasses help protect your body's melatonin.
That's really great. So where can someone get a set of those glasses?
You know, there's a number of places, and there's a number of styles. So you can get them for very cheap for your entire family. They cost literally a dollar on Amazon. So you can go to Amazon. You can find blue light blocking glasses. They look like safety glasses, the ones that are a dollar. But for $13, you get 13 of them. And probably you're not going to want to wear those outside of the house because they don't look great. But if you're, you know, if you've got kids and you've got a number of people and you're trying to, you know, like, see if this works for you and what it's all about, you know, for a dollar you can get these glasses, wear them at home and see what you think. I noticed such a huge difference in my sleep, in my anxiety, and sleeplessness that I gave a TED talk on this. And then I went out and researched all the different companies that made these glasses. And you can get them online, some of them where they look really good, so you can wear them outside to dinner or parties or wherever. They're very expensive, in the hundreds of dollars. So Primal Hacker does sell some of these where we design them to block all the blue light but be very affordable for families and still look really good. So you can get them on Amazon, you can get them on our store, and you can just Google blue light blocking glasses and see the different varieties that are out there.
Right, and what is your, or what is the link to your store, or what's the website?
Yep, so if you want to pick up anything on our store, it's store.primalhacker.com. We've got the blue light blocking glasses. We've got a coupon code for everyone listening to you guys called Buy Now. You get 20% off everything. And then we've got a whole bunch of other things, both for optimizing the light environment in your home and also the EMF, electromagnetic frequency environment in your home.
Ah, so that brings me into the next topic. You said that you thought this is the number one thing right now, but it might be surpassed by something soon. What is it you think that's going to surpass this blue light problem?
Yeah. So I would say blue light is the number one non-native, so not native to the earth, man-made EMF, electromagnetic frequency. So light and all radiation is just frequencies, different frequencies, and blue light is the number one. It's going to be surpassed, my opinion, by microwave radiation. And that's the same microwave radiation that comes from your microwave oven, but in your environment with the coming release of 5G. So 5G, everyone's heard about, is the new faster download speeds and technology from the wireless industry, and it's going to provide all these benefits to you. However, what it is going to do is continue to saturate our Earth in microwave radiation at rates and amounts never ever experienced before by man, animals, plants, nature, and never been studied in the wavelengths and frequencies that they are releasing with 5G for safety of any kind. And I think that is going to be the number one stressor. There's already 5,000 plus, so over 5,000 peer-reviewed scientific published studies showing biological effects of wireless radiation. It is well studied in the literature. We know it stresses the body, and once the body gets stressed, the things that are already present, whether that's tumors, cancer, glaucoma, melanomas, all those things then can increase and become a huge problem when your body is stressed. And we even know that through mechanisms that wireless radiation causes can directly cause cancer in the body. So that, in my opinion, with 5G, based on everything that 5G will become, once we understand a little bit more about 5G, that there has to be towers everywhere. It's not able to travel far, so you need to add more towers and increase the power of those towers and connect every device everywhere to it to create what they call this mesh network. Now your body is basically bathed 24 hours a day in this microwave radiation. We've never studied the safety of those frequencies, and we know that this EMF, electromagnetic frequency radiation, is a major stressor on the body.
Okay, and so for our listeners or anybody that comes across this in a later time, what can people do to protect themselves? Is there anything we can do, or are we just going to be sitting ducks, basically?
You know, it can be challenging because when we think about, okay, what can we do? There's some really simple things we can do, and then there's some things that are a little more challenging for us to do once people like Amazon, Elon Musk, Google and Facebook project 5G from above, from satellites. It becomes a little bit more challenging to get away from some of those things. And there's five current companies petitioning the FCC, Federal Communications Commission, by the year 2020 to project 5G from satellites from above the Earth. That is going to be a huge challenge, and it's something that everyone just needs to pay attention to because some people are more affected by this than others. So what can you personally do today? The number one thing is never, ever put your cell phone up to your head to take a phone call, and never put it in your pocket, sports bra, wherever on your body while it is on. It even says if you go to your safety or regulatory manual embedded in your cell phone, it's in the settings, you can find it on any cell phone, it tells you that you're not allowed to touch the cell phone or even keep it within a half inch of your body while it's on. So the number one thing you can do is when you take a phone call, or have your cell phone on, don't have it touching your body, set it down, use the speakerphone, use some earbuds or a headset, not a wireless one because those produce microwave radiation. That's the number one thing you can do really is use that on speakerphone and earbuds when you're on a phone call. Turn it on airplane mode when you put it in your pocket. That's what airplane mode is for. It is so that it's not irradiating you with microwave radiation when it's on your body or when you sleep. Turn your cell phone on airplane mode and turn off the other number one microwave emitting device in your home, which is the Wi-Fi router. Turn that off when you go to sleep. Huge, huge decrease in microwave radiation that your body is exposed to. And at night, when our body rejuvenates and heals, you want the microwave radiation to be the minimum it possibly can so your body can heal itself.
All right. I like those. Is there anything else that you've come across that you think is also helpful? Like, let's say those little things that people put on the back of their phones and things you plug into plug-ins in your house and all those other things. Do you see those being effective in helping as well with EMF or 5G?
Yeah, I would say the number one thing that I always recommend to people that are looking to protect themselves are things you can measure and test. So I'll talk about the stickers and the pendants and the things you can plug into your wall that give off other wavelengths or frequencies that are said to mitigate the EMF from microwave radiation. So those technologies are very interesting because there's this thing called quantum physics, and in quantum physics, there's these huge, massive changes from these little tiny, you know, changes. So these little tiny effects can have a massive change in your body and your biology. You can show through some of this that one type of wavelength can cancel out another wavelength. So if you have a negative wavelength, like a 5G or a microwave radiation wavelength and a healing wavelength, and the healing wavelength cancels the 5G out by being a different amplitude and being in sync with it, and then it basically changes the negative frequency into either a benign, like non-harmful frequency, or something that's beneficial. The problem is if those pendants were able to do that, your phone would not function because it wouldn't see the signal that it's programmed with the right chip to see. If that signal was canceled, changed to a healing frequency, your phone can't work off those frequencies. It wouldn't work. I'm very, very skeptical of those things. I think from a quantum mechanics standpoint, they definitely, in theory, work. I've never been able to test one, and I've never seen the effects where I can prove that they work. So I would say to people, like, use those things, but never rely on them as your only means of mitigating that radiation.
Right. Makes sense. So are there certain foods that you can eat to also help with that?
Yeah, so I would say, like, water. So water, unfluoridated water, natural water, is kind of the best EMF protection device. So getting in a natural body of water, including just getting in your own bathtub, is a huge protector against microwave radiation, and therefore drinking proper water. So if you think about, like, what happens when you throw a steak in a microwave and turn it on high, like, that steak gets super dried out and really crispy, so you're dehydrating it. Now think about microwaving the human body on lower levels than your microwave, but the same exact frequency. So the frequencies we're using in microwave radiation for cell phones are the same as what's in your microwave. That's Wi-Fi and Bluetooth, literally use the same frequency, but they're lower power because they're on all day, 24 hours. They're drying our cells out. So how do we mitigate that? We drink more water and hydrate our cells better. Also, eating proper fats, healthy, saturated, natural fats that aren't oxidized, those massively increase the amount of water that your own body makes itself to protect itself. So when you burn fat in your mitochondria as opposed to sugar, you make more water and, in fact, more energy as well. And that internal cellular water can be used to offset some of that microwave radiation. So those are really good things. And then the next thing that I have to mention always is seafood. So seafood has high amounts of DHA, which is known, like, as omega-3 fatty acid, or like what most people get in fish oil pills. So that DHA from seafood can be massively beneficial to mitigating some of the EMF.
Very cool. You're just a wealth of knowledge. Susie, do you have any questions at all? I've kind of taken over all the questions here. That's okay. So my activist brain goes to not, like, only what can we do in our own homes, but who do we talk to? Where do we go to, you know, tell, I don't know, our local government or the state that we don't agree with 5G? Who do we talk to at our cell phone companies? I feel like, you know, there's some work being done, but how do we go about this in the legal way to, I don't know, I don't want to use the fight, but to neutralize the effort that's being kind of pushed on us because they had the upper hand to begin with? Is there things we can do, ways to plug in?
There's absolutely things we can and should be doing if we're activist minded. And I think this is a huge, huge area, and also starts to go a little bit down some conspiracy theories, which I'll just briefly touch on, which all these are true facts, of course, that I'm going to stick to. And what you can do, the most impactful thing that you can possibly do if you're concerned about 5G is what you can do locally. So local activism, in my opinion, just from I've been a commissioner to the chairman of an environmental commission for my city, and that had a bigger impact than things that I could do on a federal level. So going to your local city council and telling them that there are dangers of 5G, it's been well studied that wireless radiation has impacts and 5G has never been safety tested. And there's something called the 5G Portland notification. You can Google that. And Portland passed a proposition that they want 5G safety tested before they allow it in Portland. You can utilize that same language with your own city council. There's another thing called, you can Google the 5G appeal. So if you search the internet for the 5G appeal, I believe it's over 255 well-known scientists that are asking for a moratorium, a shutdown of 5G until it's been further studied. And you can sign on to that 5G appeal, but you can also use it locally with all these major scientist signatures, as well as a very good breakdown of what 5G is and why we should be stopping it. You can use that with your local city council. I don't know that it's going to be helpful to go to the wireless companies, because the wireless companies want, they're all in on getting 5G rolled out. And in fact, the FCC, Federal Communications Commission, who regulates all wireless safety and wireless devices in our country, is only made up of five people. So So those, none of those five people are a doctor. None of them are a scientist. Two of them are former attorneys for the wireless companies. Those are the people, the FCC, the former wireless company attorneys that are writing the laws in the federal government for 5G. And if you look at a lot of the 5G bills, it is making it near illegal for cities and communities to stop the rollout and placement of 5G towers. That's where it gets a little bit insidious, where the federal government is actually passing laws that say you cannot slow down or stop 5G. It's a national priority, and they don't care that it's not safety tested because there's a huge financial benefit to entrepreneurs and others to roll this out. So I think the number one thing you can really do is try to start in your own community, look at things like the 5G appeal, look at the Portland Accord, and you can follow somebody like Daphna Tackover, who's used to be an attorney for the World Bank. She has a nonprofit called We Are the Evidence, and she gives a ton of information to local cities and communities on how to fight 5G or push back on 5G until it's been better studied.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when I went to our city administrator and was talking to her about this, she said they're basically given paperwork and they have like, you know, maybe a 24-hour turnover time to sign it to be a bypass for the 5G. So basically they can do what they want. Like the cities have almost no time to go through it and get a vote on it and get, you know, consumers to come in and give their opinion. They have to sign things so fast. And if you're a small city, like I live in a small city, and she's like, we don't have the money to even like have a lawyer to do, you know, to fight this. It's a really complicated and difficult situation, but it sounds like this, you know, the cities aren't happy being manhandled into complying with state and federal regulations without any say as to what happens.
Yeah, that's very true. And it still used to be a very tight turnaround. It was a 60-day notification time period where they were saying that the federal FCC would give the wireless companies 60 days to tell the city they're going to site 5G wireless towers and small cell antennas all over, and you'd have 60 days, which is still not enough time.
Okay.
And what they did,
okay,
and you can look this up in public record, is they shortened that even more so that the cities had less time to respond and were basically forced. And what they did, mm-hmm, is they made it a federal law that it is illegal to fight the placement of 5G cell antennas on the basis of an environmental check and now on health reasons. You cannot basically respond saying that they may cause health harm. That is now federally not legal for you to make that claim to try to slow it down or stop it.
Mm-hmm. So let's say you're going to be moving to a new area. This is on topic, so bear with me. Let's just assume 5G is going to happen and we're going to have these 100,000 towers or however many it is. And I'm looking to buy a new property. What could I look for in this new property that would help shield me naturally from the 5G microwaves?
Yeah, so that's actually something that's really good about 5G is it can't travel as far and it cannot penetrate certain types of materials. So here's one of the things. You mentioned like 100,000 new towers. In order to roll out 5G, we currently, today, U.S. infrastructure, this is just USA, has 300,000 cell phone towers. Those are the big towers, not miniature cell stations, but the big cell towers, 300,000. We need 1 million more for 5G to be rolled out. So it's huge, a million more plus small cell antennas. They're basically buying up, wireless companies are buying up property on every city rooftop, the city light poles and the power poles to site small cell antennas to build the mesh network. So how do you mitigate that? So if you're looking for property to buy, or you've got some money, or you want to protect yourself and you are able to do some of these things, or it's an opportune time, look for a metal roof. So metal blocks all EMF in terms of microwave radiation. So metal roof, metal siding. Those things can be really important. Brick will block, you know, all the 5G. It's not going to go through brick or concrete, masonry. So those things are very beneficial. And trees. Trees will block 5G, but especially pine trees just do the best job. So if you can get a property that has more tree cover and pine tree cover, those are going to be critical. And then the further you are away from other homes, or at least the further you are from a large population center. 5G is going to be rolled out first in high-dense population centers like big cities, so Minneapolis, St. Paul, Austin, New York, Boston. It's very expensive to site these things in the country. So the smaller your town, so they say population or towns under 70,000 people will get 5G last or perhaps not at all. So if you're in a town that has less than that number of people, you're safer. And if you're further out in the country, same thing.
Okay, good. Yeah, that's what I had read. And
the stucco count?
So that's a good point. So earth-based materials do count. It is much harder to pass radiation through any earth-based material. So the best way is to measure with a microwave radiation meter to see how it works. But any earth-based material, so mud, adobe, stucco, brick, concrete, all those things are very effective at blocking. So things that are not effective at blocking is like, you know, drywall, wood that's not living. So living trees can block it, but dead wood, you know, siding and all that, and plastic are not going to block it.
Okay. So if I have plaster walls in my house, I'm lucky?
Yeah, so glass is easy to penetrate through. Plastic is easy to penetrate through. Wood. And so all those things, unless you've got metal, and some people are actually, you know, re-siding their homes in metal. Some people are putting metal in between the studs and their drywall. You can even, like, some people are even using, like, really thin mesh chicken wire, because that chicken wire, if it's got close holes, they're really tiny holes, can actually block just as well as almost anything else. There's lots of different ways, you know, people can get creative to mitigate it. You know, tinfoil can do it if you want to, you know, go back to lining your windows and walls with tinfoil. I mean, people literally will do that if you are super concerned and you're on a budget. It's like the old tinfoil hat adage, like coming back. It's a real thing.
Well, awesome. Well, we're going to take a really quick break here, Thaddeus, and then we're going to come back after about 3 minutes and have you plug your website and your Instagram and your Facebook, which I highly suggest everybody tune in, because as things are getting closer and being implemented, the tips that you give and kind of the in-depth information is really important. I know I've learned a ton. So we are going to take a quick break and we'll be back in about 3 minutes with Thaddeus Owen, the Primal Hacker. Stay tuned.
Hi, I'm Joyce Hope, co-host of Connected Revelations. We share with you the ways and reasons to reconnect with local resources to improve your health and the health of your community. Join us on Freedomizer Radio on Sundays at 1:30 Pacific Standard Time, 3:30 Central Standard Time, and 4:30 Eastern Standard Time.
Are you looking for a new place to shop, eat, and save? Are you sick of paying full price? Would you like to save money at the places you enjoy most? Well, here's a popular savings book that is full of coupons catered to your local area. It's called Save Around. This book is full of exclusive discounts to help you save money around your town. Yes, that's Save Around. You will save money at restaurants, department stores, cars, even flowers. When I take my family out, there are seven of us. The average meal was about $110 to $140. Last time I took them out, and I'm holding a copy of the receipt right here, the check originally was $120. With the Save Around book, our meal cost $82 at a place we go to quite often. Who knew? And there are a few places we found that we are going to check out. View the books in your area before you buy. Go to freedomizerradio.com or barefootislegal.org. Just click on your city, and within a few days, you will be saving money around town with your new Save Around book.
Okay, we are back on Connected Revelation on Freedomizer Radio, and today we have with us Thaddeus Owen, known online as the Primal Hacker. Thaddeus, thank you for coming back and joining us for these last 10 minutes or so.
Yeah, pleasure to be here.
So really quick, we were talking offline here, and the thing that surprises me about 5G is, A, how excited everybody is about it when it's, in my opinion, maybe I'm missing something, but we're not going from like a dial-up phone connection to wireless instant technology. We're going from things loading in like microseconds to smaller microseconds. It's not this huge jump, and I don't, so since it's not a huge jump in like download time or connection time, what, in your opinion or factually, is the point exactly of 5G?
So the whole wireless technology revolution is really centered around two things: wireless communication and then surveillance. So really, like, a lot of the wireless industry evolved around surveillance. So as we move to 5G, think about, if you look up the statements of the head of the FCC, who used to be Tom Wheeler, he will tell you exactly what 5G is all about. And his direct quote is, if a device can be connected to 5G, it will be connected to 5G. It is essentially a surveillance mechanism so that we can connect every device and form a picture, a very good picture, of your habits, your daily life, and then sell that so that it's marketable and saleable data, whether that's to use for marketing products directly to you, whether that's used by other entities to do other things. It is a very, very lucrative way to connect all these devices and data mine at a level we've never been able to before. And big companies are very, very excited. And there's huge entrepreneurial markets now to get in on this data collection. So I think your personal data is going to be auctioned off and sold at a much faster rate, because when everything is connected, you can look these things up online, but they can now create a 3D model of you from within your home, directly from your Wi-Fi router, from that radiation from your Wi-Fi router, see where you go every day, what products do you use. Those products are going to be connected to your refrigerator, that are connected to your credit card, that is connected to everything that you buy online, and you start creating these avatars of yourself that are saleable to so many different places. And I think that is a part of what 5G is really about, is when we connect everything and have this data, it's a huge opportunity for these companies to get in and make some more money.
Is there a way to avoid that, as far as, you know, you talk about the router? Are we going to have to upgrade to 5G? Is that a must if you do any computer work at all, or will there be ways around it?
There's usually ways around these things, but you have to understand, like, as the internet companies and the wireless companies upgrade what it is they're using, they will make it so you cannot use existing technology and that you must upgrade to continue service. And they're already doing some of that. And so I think that's going to be a challenge, and everyone just has to reduce the number of quote-unquote smart devices that they're buying. Because when you think smart, think surveillance, and think that it causes radiation to increase around you. So just be very aware of the smart devices that you are picking up and the things that are going to be embedded in the packaging of what you bring home. There's going to be radio waves from transponders embedded in your packaging, so they can determine how quickly you throw something away and rebuy it. So again, just be careful of what you buy and try to understand, you know, where all these things are in your life.
Okay. Well, we have a few minutes left, and I don't want to leave people hanging with as far as where they can get more information from you. So please tell us where we can find you on social media and on the internet, and any upcoming talks or retreats or anything you have going on.
Yeah, of course. So I am most active at Primal Hacker on Instagram. That's also at Primal Hacker on Facebook, and primalhacker.com is my blog and website. I do have a few talks coming up. So I run the Biohackers Twin Cities Meetup group, and you can go to meetup.com and look up Biohacker and the Twin Cities if you're local. You can also find me at FitCon coming up in 2020 in Utah, where I'll be one of the keynote speakers, at PaleoFX coming up in 2020 in Austin, Texas in April. FitCon, by the way, is in Salt Lake City, Utah. And I host about 3 to 4 retreats every year. Just finished one last weekend north of Boston. The next retreat that I'll be at is a medical professionals retreat in Pequot Lakes, Minnesota in October, hosted by ThePointRetreats.com. And then I host my own retreat on cold adaptation, using cold, in February in Minnesota, ThePointRetreats.com. It's called the Fire and Ice Retreat. Those are all the places you can find me.
One last thing before we let you go here. Do you, I mean, I'm kind of in my own bubble here of, you know, real food and holistic health and things like that, but I feel like there's a general feeling or surge of people that are kind of waking up to all of these different things that have been either pushed upon us or gradually kind of coming into our lives in a negative way. And I feel like there's an awakening of people to at least notice and acknowledge that things are maybe going awry and not how we suspected that they were. Do you see that kind of out in the real world as you host these retreats and go to these different speaking engagements? Do you see that as well?
I see a lot more people starting to wake up around these things. But I also see a lot of people that have never heard of these concepts and had no idea. And I love talking with some of those people because it's very easy to present the facts, which are well-known, well-studied, and well-documented, and see people just start to light up and the light bulb goes off as they see, like, well, wait a minute, what else don't we know and how is this happening? And the research is just so compelling and it's public that it's undeniable that there are biological effects and that people do need to wake up. So I am seeing more people wake up, but it's still amazing to see how many people just don't even know and have never heard of this. And, you know, when we tell them and talk about this, they're actually very interested. So I think it's really cool.
Yeah. I mean, I think people see this and I see a lot of like kind of gloom and doom too. Like, you know, you get that fight mentality and kind of the negative energy, but I feel like there's a lot of positivity happening. And one thing that no one accounts for is like the human condition and the human desire to not be kind of controlled and to not fit into a certain mold. And I think no one accounts for that. So I feel like, you know, stuff that you presented here also gives a lot of hope for people when they want to be healthier and want to avoid this stuff, want to find a way out, that's a whole other side of it.
Yeah, humans are very resilient. So we will always find a way and light finds a way to shine through. So I think it can seem like doom and gloom, but there's always that light that shines through and we will see that and we'll see more and more people waking up to that and figuring out ways around all this.
Yeah, I totally agree. Dory, did you have anything else? Sorry.
I just want to say thank you for bringing this information to people and I think it's absolutely interesting and fascinating that you started out in such a different world and then came kind of to, I guess, the other side, if you will. But had you not had those first experiences, you probably wouldn't be as passionate as you are about it. Would you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's just really cool for me to just grow and learn all this information and be able to share it with others. And I think part of my passion is just seeing other people get to the point where I was of starting out with not knowing, but wanting to dig deeper into life and that there's things that are under these covers that we just don't know about, just waiting to be found and explored. And it's just so exciting to come from this world of where I was, you know, the person putting together the pharmaceuticals and developing these beauty care products. And we had PhD university psychologist teaching us how to manipulate women using advertising and claims on products that didn't really do anything to this point of, okay, here's how to really give back. And so it's been an amazing journey.
I thank you for growing up, continuing that journey because you're waking a lot of people up. You're pointing people in the right direction and the world is lucky to have you.
Well, thank you.
Thanks for joining us, Thaddeus. We hope to talk to you again soon and enjoy the rest of your trip. And I'm sure we'll see you around.
Yeah, and I appreciate your show, and I'm glad you're here shining the light on these dark places that people don't really know about and letting us know what's out there. So congratulations and keep going.
Thanks, Thaddeus. Talk to you soon. Thank you.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye. Well, that was amazing, obviously.
Oh, yes. I mean, I guess I've been kind of geeked out on the fact that he's going to be on our show for months now as we, so I'm excited that I got to talk to him. He's really smart. And I love, as we were talking about, as I was asking you, like, what's his personality like and different things, you're right. He can explain things so well for people to understand. And I'm really glad that he was on the show because 5G isn't something that I know about it, but I don't talk about it much. I kind of stick to other topics that I talk about, but it's always good to hear from someone who is really passionate about it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Bring that fire to it.
No, yeah, absolutely. It's again, always inspiring to be around inspiring people, right? It's just a really cool thing.
It really is. And I was kind of bummed. Was he the one who did the carnivore challenge?
No, he did. He was part of the inspiration behind the 150 push-ups. What was it? The Go Primed for Summer challenge that I participated in that got me on the carnivore journey. So,
okay.
Yeah. Really, really cool.
Yeah, really cool. Because, man, the pictures you posted of your gun show there.
I know. It's amazing.
Pretty incredible.
Really sweet. Yeah, some push-ups and squats can really change your body.
Again, what I wanted to ask him about is I saw a post from him today that I didn't get around to talking to asking him about was he was talking about vitamin D.
Mm-hmm.
And he was talking about how you can't just get vitamin D on your face or your hands.
Yeah.
You need to, like, get it all over your body. And I wanted to ask him, he was talking about these different products in the post that I've never heard of.
Right.
So I wish I would have asked that question because it was, like, burning. After I read his post, I was like, oh, I'd like to learn more about that, and I should ask today.
Yeah.
But then we weren't really talking about that topic. So it would be interesting.
Yeah, I think Heidi, who is his partner, and Katie, who we had on our show, they have a podcast called The Barefoot Life, and I'd be curious if they cover it on there, because I think Heidi has a swimsuit that vitamin D can get through, which I'm really interested in. So I think he mentions that in his post, if we're talking about the same one that I also saw today.
I think so.
Yeah, and
yeah,
I know she talked about it before as well. And, is wearing one of those swimsuits because, in my opinion, going around naked would be just fine with me on the beach and in your backyard. Unfortunately, it's not socially acceptable. So I guess that would be the next best thing. I'm not going to experiment with that one. But I think there's a swimsuit brand that he mentions that vitamin D can go through. And of course, then we have winters here too, where it's a challenge just to even get outside some days. I think they say by February we've used up all of our vitamin D stores, and that's I'm assuming that means if you've taken full advantage of getting plenty of vitamin D in the spring, summer, fall, that by February it's, you've used up those stores, and that's kind of why people start getting sick and cabin fever around like March, April, May a little bit. You get those spring colds and things
outside.
Like that. Yeah. I know we don't get too many. I feel like with kids and especially us, like homeschooling too, you have to be outside or you're just going to go crazy. I can't stand being in the house for very long. The kids start getting so squirrely and, even if it's really cold, like we can survive outside, let's go get your stuff on.
Yeah, without a doubt. So yeah, outside is best. Like I'm so grateful that I've been able to be outside so much with my kids.
Mm-hmm.
you know, especially over the summer, it seems like as of recently, the kids are less, don't want to be outside as much as they did. And I assume that has to do with them having a good level of vitamin D now.
Mm-hmm.
So then they're feeling like the less of a need to be outside as they did in the beginning. So it's interesting, but you got to keep pushing the outside time because that's where we get a lot of what we need.
No, I remember, you know, when I was in college and like, you know, May and June come around and I just wanted to sit outside and just soak up the sun. Because of course I was in a classroom all day and then I went to work, although I worked with children. So I was outside a lot then. But I remember just sitting there, even if it was cold and just like soaking in the sun. People probably thought I was nuts, but I just could not get enough of, you know, just that spring, early summer sunshine when you'd been, you know, in the winter time for a good 5-6 months.
Yeah, I mean, especially when I was working with really young kids, like getting them out there in all their snow gear in the winter.
Right.
I mean, I would do it and we'd be out there as long as possible, but now that the kids are older.
Yes, it is much more pleasant. Yes.
It is much more pleasant.
It is. I would agree. I know. Having a baby in the when it's winter time is probably my least favorite challenge because I want to be out, the baby needs to be out, the kids need to be out, and yet you have these layers of resistance that you face as you try to head out the door. Head out anywhere takes preparation.
Yeah. Right, because they'll take off their hat, they'll take off their mittens.
Yeah.
And, you know,
I lost my mitten. Where is my boot? My boot is wet. My zipper broke. And it's like, oh, my gosh. As you well know.
Oh, yes, I know. But, you know, the thing is, eventually we'll be past that stage.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
In many ways, we'll miss it.
I know.
And in other ways, we'll be grateful for the next one. you know?
I agree.
I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, my goal would be to not, you know, I don't even watch TV anymore. Like,
mm-hmm.
This is like, you know, I've been slowly moving away from TV as the years have gone on. Ever, you know, since I stayed at home and, you know, was doing in-home daycare for many years, one of my biggest rules was there's no television during the day because
good for you.
That's not really what it's about.
Uh-huh.
But, like, so then, you know, I just have come the conclusion that TV, this is the first year, like, I didn't pick up on any show at all. Like, sometimes I binge watch, like, one show a year.
Sure.
I haven't gotten
none.
I haven't watched a full show of anything in, like, over a year.
Good for you. And that's just awesome. What have you replaced it with, and what do you do instead?
Work.
That's not the right answer. You're supposed to say, I've been outside.
Well, no, I would like to, you know, being outside, you know, I try to take the opportunities where I can, where I take the kids to the park or, I've been pretty big about like, let's go have dinner at the park and play.
Mm-hmm.
Cause let's just get out of the house and walk away from, cause you know, my older son is very much likes TV, like his dad. And so I've tried very hard to pull that away.
Mm-hmm.
So,
What's up next week on our show? Next week we have you, because on our very first show where we were interviewing each other, no one could hear you for reasons unbeknownst to us because we were both in the same space. So I have no idea. But it seems like I got the full hour and a half and you got nothing. So we are going to interview you, Dori, about your businesses and your life and all the things that you offer to people. And maybe some of your upcoming adventures, depending on how much you want to share. So we are presenting Dori next week.
Oh, dear. So everybody should really tune in for that one.
You are a very interesting person. You have I keep forgetting how much you know about the holistic dentistry because I keep thinking of you now today. And then you will refer to, when I worked in the dentist office. And I was like, that's right. I keep forgetting, like, the life that you had before I really like knew you and was connected with you. I don't know. I always forget. I think of people in the here and now. So I'm a, you know, love the background stories. Of course, you know, I'm always like, what did you do to get here? What was your life like before? What led you here? Because I think it's so interesting, all these different roads people take, and somehow this mesh of us end up right here in this space, knowing each other and contributing to each other's lives. And it's so cool.
Right. And even with like Thaddeus, he worked at some pretty mainstream jobs there. You know what I mean?
Well, I know. And you know, my dad was the chemical engineer, and he was the mm-hmm. one who didn't let us watch TV, didn't let us do video games, watch the ingredients in food because he knew how it was made, that type of thing. So I mm-hmm. find that so fascinating and so interesting when he said he was used to be a chemical engineer, and I was like, ah, you have that understanding behind it. It's not just like, well, artificial colors and this aren't good for you. It's like, no. I saw how the goo was made. That's not food, or that's not, you don't want that on your skin. You know, I
right.
think that's like, it's just so intriguing.
It is intriguing. But I mean, had he not done that?
Right. Yeah.
I don't think the story would be the same. And so, you know, sometimes you go through these things to get you where you need to be. So, you know, that was my, I really was enjoying that about his backstory.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know.
Wow.
I really believe, you know, it's that thing where, you know, everyone's on a journey. And the only thing I wish for is that people continue to open their eyes, because it is a journey. It's not, you don't end up at a place and think, this is what I'm going to be. This is my identity. And I think people that get stuck there, that's a dangerous place, you know, you to not want to grow or to think that this is it, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. I don't, maybe not dangerous, but it's a limiting place. I mean, to just think like, I don't know what's going to come next. I'm just going to do this and this and this and keep learning and keep meeting people and keep plugging into these places I have passion. That's
right.
Pretty liberating, you know?
Oh, it is. I mean, when I was working in the dental office, you know, holistic dental office, like I thought that was it. That was
right.
What I was doing for the rest of my life. And so when things kind of changed, it was very scary, but at the same point, liberating, because I figured out that no matter what I chose to do in life, I would be okay, you know?
Right, yeah.
So, I mean, I loved it, and I loved holistic dentistry and everything that came along with it, and I think I've melded pretty much most everything that I've done in my life into where I am now.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But it's liberating when you realize that you aren't stuck in that one thing you trained for when you were 20 years old and had no
right.
idea what life had to offer.
Absolutely. You know, it is. It's like, I don't know. What are you going to be when you grow up? I'm still not sure. I don't know. Because I keep
still growing
up. I keep evolving and changing. I'm still growing up. And hopefully that never ends, because it's pretty darn fun to meet all these people and continue to grow and change in whatever capacity I'm able to at that moment. I don't know. I wouldn't give that up. I think it's amazing.
Right. Right.
So next
week.
I think
you're pretty incredible.
Well, thanks. So next week we have you. That was a really long way to say, you know, we get to hear from my friend Dory next week, my co-host. And that will be really fun. I always learn something new about you, where I said, I didn't know that. Why didn't you tell me that before? So that will be pretty awesome. And then today's broadcast, we will have up somewhere 24 to 48 hours from now, so that you can tune in and listen to it.
Yep, and we'll post that on our Facebook page at Connected Revelations. And I'm sure we'll share it to our other pages too.
Yeah, we'll share it on Instagram and with some links. I know there's a discount by, I think it's Buy Now to save 20% at the Primal Hacker store. I have some of his shades, his blue blockers, and a t-shirt that I absolutely adore. But that takes care of it for this week. It went by way too fast.
It did. I want to thank Thaddeus Owen again from Primal Hacker for joining us and taking time out of his Sunday afternoon to help our listeners.
Yeah, and we will see you next week on Sunday at 3, what time? I can't remember.
3:30 p.m.
3:30 p.m. Yes, that time. On Connected Revelation on Freedomizer Radio. See ya.
See ya.